talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Well, 39 degrees at Hollis, 36 at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon, 35 at Arnett, 35 at May Ranch, 36 at Cherokee, out here in the panhandle of Texas, about the same, 34 at Lipscomb, 36 at Dozer, and 38 at Wellington. We got a big show planned today. I have two world famous people on here today. First in the first segment is going to be the world famous auction man down here at the Elk City Livestock Auction and over at the Western Oklahoman, Brandon Hickey. And then later on, starting the second segment, Michelle Miller, aka Farm Babe, will be on the show with me today, and we're going to be talking about GMOs and wheat myths. So, anyway, let's start with world-famous Brandon Hickey.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Little cold, but not like it has been.
Oh, no. And, man, the forecast looks... There's some wheat pasture going to be growing next week. I can tell you that.
Oh, my gosh. You could kind of tell that by what them calves is bringing there Friday and Monday. There's some pretty good optimism about some potential wheat and grass coming in with all this moisture that we've got.
I've seen that. I was looking at the stuff from both days, and, well, let's start with Elk City real quick. The 4 to 5 weights, anywhere from, well, 4 weights were all in the 314 to 330. That was pretty good.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and we get a big jump on them them little full weight heifers, get a big jump, sold some of them up, you know, clear up in the 280s. That's probably $15-$20 a hundred jump from just the week before on them good front end full weight heifers. So lots of interest, lots of activity, lots of buyer participation. And I was talking to somebody earlier today, and this thing's getting just better and better. And we're in kind of a dreary weather pattern here, you know, and I can just only imagine if something weird don't happen, how these things is going to explode if we get a little sunshine somewhere in here. But, you know, typically the damp and the dreary and the no sunshine will keep this thing under control to a certain degree. But, boy, howdy, if we ever get to see some sunshine, we might really see this thing explode on these lightweight calves even more than it already has.
Yeah, and of course, your favorite part, the board. It's been steadily going up the last week. Have you heard reason why yet?
Well, we're just recouping what should have ever been taken away to begin with. I mean, we're just getting back up there where the numbers said we should have been all along and shouldn't have ever been down this much. With that fall drop, nobody can still explain that, exactly why that happened, other than, like Dr. Peel said the other day, the marble traders doing their thing. So that's the only real explanation we can get with that. So we're just climbing back up there where the numbers said we should have never went down from back there in the 1st of November.
Right. Yeah. What was that? September they started going down a little bit, or was it later? Was it right?
It was a little later where we started seeing it drop just day after day after day. It was on up there closer into November.
Because September really start happening. Yeah, September and October were really good, but there's going on. What are the breeding stock doing? What did they do over there at Elks Friday?
Well, you know, we're not seeing very many. That's the thing. We're not really seeing any real good replacement females to go back out. Whether it be bred heifers, bred cows, or pairs, everything that's really coming in is older and or open. So, you know, I really don't have a good report for that on replacement females. Now, we're supposed to have some good young bred cows, not this Friday, but Friday after next. We're supposed to have have a load or two of good young bred cows, and I'll have a lot better idea then. But I feel like that there's going to be a lot of interest and activity for as much reason as any that there's not very many of them to be had, and I think there's quite a few people looking for some. And same thing, we try to get them now while this weather's a little bit in the dreary side, instead of trying to get them when the sunshine shows up.
Well, I keep looking at these numbers, and I looked at the ones over at Western yesterday, and it's still not too late to buy some 7 or 8 weight heifers and be ready to breed them later this spring. At a decent price.
Yeah. We're not, the big cattle aren't rocketing up quite as fast as the lightweight cattle are. I mean, the 3 and 4 and 5 weight cattle, especially on the wing side, are just rocketing up in a hurry. The 6 weight cattle are going up, but not quite as fast and as quickly as the 3, 4s, and 5s. And you get into the 7s and 8s, and they're just kind of lazily drifting, up. They're going up, and there's sure more demand, but they're not just rocketing like the 5 weights are. So there's still a good opportunity for some of them heavy 6 weight, light 7 weight, even 8 weight heifers, to be bought where guys should be feel pretty good about what they'd be worth coming back as a bred heifer or a pair next spring.
Yeah, because if it wasn't for me and my big mouth saying that I wasn't going to ever calve heifers out again, one of my landlords that I take care of cattle for, he's wanting to get 8 or 10 more. I'd have him just get some of these heifers, and I got a heifer bull, and go after it, but I'd have to eat a lot of crow if I did that.
We all seem like we have to do that once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Man, that was a good time over there. The other day at Clinton, there was a really good turnout. Dr. Peel was good, Dr. Biggs was good, and I hope they do that more often.
That was a good
and Marty program. New lots on nutrition was good too. I forgot about him. And I know I interrupted your hamburger meal there, but anyway, I needed one more person to talk to.
Problem, like I told you, I don't get to eat very many of those hamburgers warm. It doesn't. I noticed that 513-pound 25, just amazing what some ready to go right on out to pasture, what they'll bring right now. I mean, there's people are hunting them, and like I say, it's amazing that they're hunting them this much with the dreary weather. I can only imagine what this thing might get like if we get a little sunshine, and that was really, I expected those cattle to do well, but I didn't expect them to quite bring that. So that was, lots of buyers, lots of bidders on those.
Yeah, you had big bunch yesterday. Out of Amarillo, Clarendon, and Custer City. So, I mean, you had some pretty good bunches in there.
Yes, sir.
What's on the, you got anything on the agenda for Elk City Friday yet?
We've got 3 sets of weaned cattle coming. 3 nice-sized sets, all of them over 100 or better, coming from 3 different consigners, everything 75 to 120 days weaned. And they'll weigh anywhere from we got some half Wagyu calves that are going to weigh in the 4s on up to probably the mid-7s. Be some cattle with some really good condition, in that 5 and 6 weight category that'll be long weaned, 100 days weaned, ready to go out. We've got gonna have a nice run of weaned cattle there Friday, and got some calves already on the, some unweaned calves already, so also already on the list, but not as many of them as the weaned cattle, but I really expect we'll probably, if the weather don't turn really nasty, we don't get some more ice or whatnot, I think we'll probably have a bigger sale this week than the previous 2 weeks there at Elk City with a large offering of weaned calves.
Sounds good. Well, I'll be out there Friday to see the little short hair gray lady. Or the gray short hair lady, whichever comes first. Anyway, she actually hugged me the other day. She said, I heard you guys talked good about me, so I got a hug from her.
We tell nothing but the truth.
That's exactly right. And nothing.
They cook a really good burger, and they're fun to be around. but they are dang sure ornery when there's we tell nothing but the truth.
That's right. Well, all right, Brandon, thanks for taking time out today, and I guess I'll go to our first.
You got one real time for my little soapbox here?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm sorry. No, I have plenty
That's
of time
right.
for that.
All right. Well, I just learned yesterday that National Cattlemen's Beef Association, which, as we all, most of us know, has been a packer operation. They've worked for the packers a lot more than the cow-calf producers for years and years. And they're putting out an initiative that they want all electronic ID tags coming up by 2026 on all animals, not just on adult animals. And then I've also learned that our Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, our local state association, has signed off on this also. So we need to make a little noise about this, because this is not, they tell you this is all about disease traceability and exports and this, that, and the other, and it's not. This is just a packer initiative to try to eliminate smaller producers, make this product more streamlined for them, try to get it a little bit closer to how the pork and chicken deal has went. And, you know, we've got traceability right now. If they would just enforce the laws, the rules that are currently in place, they can't enforce the ones that's currently in place. And so they somehow think that EID is going to make that better, electronic ID is going to make that better, when they can't enforce the rules they've got in place. And I just want people to understand that, you know, we may eventually go this way, but it's got to be for the right reasons. It can't be because we're trying to eliminate some small producers and we're trying to more streamline this industry, because this isn't about, they can tell you all they want to that this is about traceability and disease traceability and all of that, but that's not what this is about. This is about more control from the government and from the packers, and I'm just really, really disappointed that Oklahoma Cattlemen's has signed off on this. I'm very, very disappointed that has happened, but we need to be somewhat proactive at our local level that, you know, this is not a direction that we need to be going. We can't even enforce the rules that's in place right now on adult animals, let alone trying to say we're going to tag every calf born in the United States from, you know, going forward beginning in 2026. It's a disaster waiting to happen, because there's not a program in place that makes it doable at this point in time. So that's way too aggressive of an approach to even be able to think about it. But again, if it was for the right reasons, it'd be different. But it's not for the right reasons. So, you know, we need to be diligent. We need to be being involved in these state cattlemen's associations and our local cattlemen's associations. You know, let them know we're not really interested in eliminating our small producers. You know, our industry is so great because we've got producers from 5 head to 5,000 head, and that makes it tougher for it to streamline. And that's what these packers' ultimate goal is. They want to streamline this and make it easier for themselves, and that's what this NCBA policy is all about. And they'll try to tell you it's not, but ultimately it's packer driven, and so we just need to be diligent about, you know, letting our representatives at both in the legislature and in these cattlemen's associations know this isn't for the cow calf producers.
Well, I'm definitely going to check into it, because I'm glad you told me about that, because I would definitely check more into it myself, and so does everybody else need to.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You bet. You have a great day, Jim.
I will. Thank you, Brandon. Bye. All right. Let's take a Stockman's Veterinary Clinic happy hour break, and we'll be right back after this, and I'll have you weather ag weather update out in the Texas Panhandle, and I'll have Michelle Miller on, a.k.a. Farm Babe, and don't take that wrong. That's not what she is. She is a very well-known advocate for farmers and ranchers all over the world. So we'll be talking to her shortly.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech, 1400 South Randall in Elk City, with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open with their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Calling all rural residents of western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup in four different size dumpsters. You have a big job? D&G also has roll-offs available in several sizes. With D&G, you find affordable rates and no contracts. Satisfaction is always top priority. For more information, call D&G at 580-497-6950. That's 580-497-6950. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash.
Get better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics bull and female sale is Saturday, March 2nd at 12:30. Selling 90 yearling and 18-month-old bulls and 20 commercial bred heifers. They've got DNA test data, birth, weaning, and yearling data, and ultrasound data. They've been feed efficiency tested on the GrowSafe system. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 2nd at 12:30 p.m. on County Road 2150 near Foss. Get information at davisangus.com or go to Facebook and search Davis Angus.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, welcome back to the Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic Happy Hour. And on the phone with me right now is Michelle Miller, a.k.a. I call her, she calls herself, actually, the Farm Babe. Tell everybody why your name is Farm Babe. It was kind of funny watching you tell that.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Farm Babe is a nickname that I came up with on social media a little over 9 years ago. And it was a spinoff of a blogger whose name is The Food Babe, and she really wasn't saying anything truthful about agriculture online. She's got millions of social media followers, and she was talking about chemicals and GMOs are so bad, and I politely corrected her on Facebook, and I was like, hey, you know, I totally understand, but like, there's a lot of misinformation out there, you know, but like, I grow GMOs on my farm, so please come out. We'd love to share what we're doing. We eat what we grow, and we're not drenching your food and toxic chemicals or whatever, you know, let's have a conversation. And she blocked and banned me on social media within about 5 seconds of posting, and I found a Facebook group called Banned by the Food Babe, which has 10,000 members. So I thought, well, if the food babe isn't going to let farmers talk about farming, I'm going to be the farm babe. And so it started off kind of as a joke, like a little over 9 years ago now. But who would have thought that it would have turned into a full-fledged career for me and not just a fun Facebook page?
Oh, you're doing awesome. You're on YouTube. You got your podcast. You're on Facebook. You're on social media all over the place. And you've been all over the world. And we're going to run a little bit short on time today with her today, but I'm going up there where she's going to be at Oklahoma City at the U.S. Custom Harvesters Convention, and maybe I'll get to talk with her some more while I'm up there. So a quick deal on GMOs. Why is GMOs so misunderstood?
Well, you know, it is a matter of follow the money sometimes when it comes to food labels. You know, the non-GMO project is a $20 billion a year industry. Organic and natural is a $350 billion a year industry. And there is a lot of money to be made off of consumer fear and misunderstanding. So people want, a lot of times they want you to think GMOs are bad because they want you to pay three times more for your groceries. Everything we eat is modified. You know, if you ask the average person what is a GMO, they would probably be like, I don't know, it's something that's modified. But none of our food is natural. Organics are modified. Non-GMOs are modified. So it's really just a marketing thing, and there's really no nutrition, there's no harm or you know, there's no difference, really. I mean, all of our food is safe and abundant, and, you know, it just depends upon what farmers grow and why.
Right. And it's just like corn. You know, yeah. The president's wife down in Mexico, she started this deal last year, or actually the year before, about not having GMO corn brought into Mexico. And what people really don't understand about genetically modified corn is that now they're putting the stuff in the corn, and yes, it's not genetically modified, the stuff to help with the worms, the fungus, and all that stuff. And it's so much safer doing it that way than spraying the non-GMO corn, you know, for pesticides, fungus, and all that stuff, and killing some of our pollinators and some of that. So I don't know. Am I looking at that wrong?
No, I think you're spot on. I mean, I used to grow GMO corn and soybeans in Iowa when I was farming up there. And yeah, I mean, if you would ask farmers in the Midwest what we were spraying, you know, 40, 50 years ago, it was we're singing our praises, right? There's a reason why 90 to 95% of farmers choose to adopt these GMO crops. And it usually is because we're eliminating pesticide sprays, or it allows us to do no-till farming. So we're actually being better environmental stewards by adopting the GMO crops and the modern GMO technology. That story isn't always being told, and that's the whole reason I started my advocacy program, is to debunk myths.
I know. And coming up Thursday, hopefully I can track you down, and you got a few minutes, and you and I are going to talk about some myths, whether it be on my show or recorded, and bring it back. So I look so much forward to meeting you Thursday at Oklahoma City at the convention center. You're going to be, are you going to be there for just that day? Or are you going to be there for the whole thing?
I'll be there for the whole thing, the 24th through the 27th. So,
oh, cool.
Fly in tomorrow.
All right. Well, thank you for taking time out, pulling off the side of the road and taking a phone call from me.
And
I look so forward to meeting you come Thursday.
You too. Thanks so much.
All right. See you later. Thank you.
Bye. You too.
All right, that is Michelle Miller. She is the farm babe, or farm babe, on social media and stuff. And don't take that wrong. I mean, she just told you the reason why she started out as a joke, and it's hooked on. She's got a lot of good stuff on her social media about a lot of things. She was just over in Scotland here a while back, messing around with the Scottish Highland cattle, and it's pretty cool what she's doing. And so anyway, let's go ahead and take a Stockman's Veterinary Clinic happy hour break, and we'll be right back. Let's talk about what's going on with the markets and stuff today.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-0677.
Everyone around me was drinking coffee, and I wanted to be a coffee drinker too. But everything I tasted was either too bitter or too sweet. So I tried one more place. Instead of just ordering, I told them an idea of what I wanted, and they crafted a drink just for me. It tasted fresh, like coffee is supposed to. The brew was mild, and the flavor not too sweet. Exactly what I wanted. They've done this for lots of people. They'll do this for you, too. Thanks to Twister's Coffee Company next to Brahms in Elk City, now I'm a coffee drinker every day.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Beef. That's what's on the menu at Hudson Angus Farms. Their 11th annual bull and female sale is Saturday, January 27th at 1 p.m. at the farm west of Elk City. They're selling 70 yearling to two-year-old bulls and 20 bred heifers. To see the catalog and videos, go to their website, HudsonAngusFarms.com, or find Hudson Angus Farms on Facebook. The Hudson Angus Farms Spring Bull Sale, Saturday, January 27th. Lunch at noon, sale starts at 1 o'clock west of Elk City.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to Today in Ag. Let's check out some ag weather for northwestern Oklahoma. Alva, 36 degrees, feels like 31. Dew point's 36, humidity's 100%. No rainfall to speak of except for the fog. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 29 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 1.0. Sunset at 5:50. Dense fog right now, 38 degrees. The winds are out of the northeast. Tonight, 80% chance of rain showers and 32 degrees with northeast to north winds. And tomorrow, 20% chance of rain, partly sunny, 46 for a high. We need some sunshine. This is the only time I hate solar power at the water wells. And in the sun in the last 2 days, and my tank's below half full, just not cool. And then right next to it, I got a next fence over. I have a backup. I got a windmill over there. If I have to, I'll turn the cows in there, but I don't want to. But anyway, started calving yesterday afternoon. They were due, I think, today. They started calving. Had two calves on the ground yesterday, three thinking about it. Showed up this morning, five calves on the ground, and I got 10 thinking of it. So that group of cows that Taylor, Dr. Mouse, AI'd I should be done, what is today, Tuesday? Hopefully I'm done by Friday with that group of 25 mamas. I sure love this synchronizing stuff. But anyway, Taylor was 100% on the AI and on that group. So anyway, should be in pretty good shape. Okay, let's see what happened overnight. Oh, I got a text message in that I want to share with you guys. And where'd it go? Let me see here. Let me figure out where it went to. All you people texting in these names of these towns drives this board. Okay, this comes from, I don't know who it is. Anyway, it says, Jimmy, tell all those lazy suckers who's throwing the wrap out on the highway to pick it up. See, I'm not the only one. There is actually quite a few people that are anti-wrap on the highway deals. It is kind of bad out there, guys, right now. So I've seen mineral tubs, 5-gallon buckets, cake sacks, wrap. It's not that hard to secure it on your truck. So please, please pick it up. Pick your wrap up. And tomorrow is going to be Western Oklahoma and Eastern Texas Panhandle. Stop and pick up hay wrap, even if it's not yours, and throw it on the back of your truck. Send pictures in tomorrow during the show. So anyway, and I won't use your name, whoever sends it in. But anyway, it'd be interesting to see how many people will actually tomorrow stop and pick up some hay wrap that's not theirs and throw it on their bed and send me pictures. And hey, I don't know if I might have a prize. I don't know. I'm going to look in my stuff at home and see if I got something for the best picture. And county and highway department workers, you're disqualified from this contest. So, because I know you pick it up every day. So anyway, yes, sir. Deer corn sacks. Here we got another person texting in deer corn sacks. So anyway, let's see what happened overnight. First on in our ag belt here. The farm belt of central United States. Soybean and grain futures were higher in overnight trading on concerns about global production in several growing areas of the world. Dry weather is expected in parts of Argentina, which likely will allow crop stress and moisture shortages to build, said Don Kinley, an agriculture meteorologist for Maxar. Mostly dry weather should prevail this week. Wheat in Europe saw some rainfall over the weekend, and snow is expected in parts of eastern Poland, but dry and warm conditions are forecast for southern areas in Europe that may lead to moisture shortages. Still, rainfall in Brazil, the world's largest exporter of soybeans, will improve crop prospects in central and the northern growing areas, the forecaster said. A mix of precipitation is expected in the United States southern plains, which will bump moisture levels for hard red winter wheat that's overwintering. While ice is forecast for the region, no major crop damage is expected. Soybean futures for March delivery rose 5.25 to $12.29.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up $2.50 to $3.58.30 a short ton, and soy oil fell 0.08 cents to 48.08 cents a pound. Corn futures were up 2 cents to 4.47¾ cents a bushel. Wheat for March delivery added 2.5 cents to $5.99 a bushel in Chicago. And Kansas City futures overnight rose 2.5 cents to $6.95 a bushel. Inspections for wheat for export rose in the 7 days that ended on the 18th. While corn and bean assessments declined, wheat inspections were reported around 314,521 metric tons, and that's up from 242,000 tons a week earlier, but behind 349,000, almost 350,000 tons assessed same period last year. And I think my man Jimmy Music's in Washington, D.C., up there doing some talking on the wheat deal, so when he gets back, maybe we'll have him come in and talk about what he learned in Washington. Examinations of corn for overseas delivery fell to 713,000 tons. It's down 25% from the previous week. And down about 13,000 tons from the same period last year. Soybean assessments came in at 1.16 million tons, down from 1.28 million tons a year earlier and 1.84 a week earlier. I'm sorry, 1.28 million for a week earlier, 1.84 million from a year earlier. They had those switched around on me. Since the start of the marketing year, September, the government has inspected 14.7 million tons of corn for overseas delivery, 26.8 million tons of soybeans, and wheat assessments is at 10.7 million tons. That's down a couple million tons from last year. Of course, freezing fog is expected in much of southwestern Nebraska, northwestern Kansas, east central Colorado through tomorrow morning. In Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, fog will be an issue all day with only about 50% of it, but only about 50% of it will freeze, creating slick highways. And there you go. Not much else going on there. Let's see what's going on right now with the grains. Futures March 445, basically unchanged. May is 455, unchanged. Soybeans for March 1232, up 8. May is 1240, up 7. Soybean meal back in the green finally. March 360.30, a short ton, up 450. May is 359 even, up 340. Soybean oil's down today. March 48.13, down 3. May is 48.60, down 4. And hard red winter wheat on the positive side today. March 6.16, up a little over 9. And May is 6.17, up 6. And let's see what's going on with cotton. Not much. March cotton's 84.54, down 29. May's 85.71, down 15. July's 86.21, down 05, and October's actually up 6 at 81.83. West Texas Intermediate crude oil is down 63 cents for March at 74.13, and natural gas is same thing, February 238, down 3. All right, let's see. The Dow's in the red today. Not much going on with the NASDAQ and the S&P, but they are in the green today. Live cattle. Everything's up there on that board today. February's 174.82, up 105. April 178.10, up 120. June's 175.25, up 97. Feeder cattle for January, 231.40, up 157. It just changed on me here. March, 233.95, up 267. April, 239.57, up 247. May is 244.57, up 222. And August is 259.82, getting close to that 260 mark, up 177. Lean hogs are up nicely today. February 73.25, up 232. April 80.52, up 290. May is 85.70, up 205. And there you have it. Okay. Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic. As the winter has arrived in full force, we would like to take a moment to remind all of our producers, clients, and friends to remain safe while tending to livestock and their needs. Plan ahead in order to intervene in any calving difficulties and that may arise. Quick action, if needed, can make a difference. We often must feed and check cattle alone. In these extreme wind chills, take time to let someone know where you are and check in often. An unfortunate accident in these temperatures can be deadly. Lastly, remember the water is a vital nutrient for our animals and ourselves, especially in the winter. Stay safe. We appreciate it. We appreciate all that you do to provide for your pets and livestock. We are there to help. When you need us, call Stockman's Vet Clinic at 580-225-0200. Well, let's go ahead and take a Stockman's Vet Clinic break. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City.
We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers with managing livestock risk protection. LRP is the cheapest way to establish a floor price for your cattle while leaving the top side open. Policies are available for calves, stocker cattle, and feed yard cattle with no upfront costs or margin calls. For LRP and crop insurance, contact Andy or Codell at the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Hold on to your ag investment at nightlatch.net.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, January 22nd. 1,007 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 437 brought 335. 4 at 504 brought 285. 5 at 556 brought 285. 7 at 638 brought 254. 15 at 836 brought 213. 16 at 843 brought 212. 6 at 1133 brought 179. 12 head of heifers at 553 brought 254. 8 at 559. 9 brought 260, 11 at 569 brought 231, 12 at 627 brought 242.50, 10 at 674 brought 219.50, 21 at 721 brought 218, 13 at 725 brought 215, butcher cows were 68 to 115, butcher bulls 92 to 114. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. I picked a big city, Eric, Oklahoma. 37 degrees, feels like 32, dew point's 37, humidity's 100%. And so far in the last 24 hours, you've got 0.02 of an inch of rain. In the last 10 days, 0.04, all from fog, I'm assuming. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature is 32 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water is 1. And then sunset at 5:57. Rain showers likely today, 60% tonight. 80% chance of rain, 33. It's going to be cold rain. And tomorrow, 49, partly sunny with a 30% chance of rain. That is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for the big city of Eric, Oklahoma. All right, coming up, starting this Thursday, is the U.S. Custom Harvesters, Inc. will have their annual convention in OKC from the 25th to the 27th and gather more than, there'll be 800 members in the custom harvesting industry. The Oklahoma City's new convention center will host them. The annual convention will feature a trade show showcasing 143,000 square feet for vendors and associate members, combine clinics, forage clinics, state meetings, speaker sessions. I hear that Oklahoma Secretary of Agriculture, Blaine Arthur, is going to be there first thing Thursday morning. U.S. Representative Frank Lucas is going to be there sometime during the day. I didn't get a lowdown on that. Maybe I can call somebody tomorrow during the show and get a lowdown on all that.
And they have women's and kids events, a children's safety day, musical entertainment from Wade Hayes. How about that? The trade show will feature sponsors such as Case IH, Claws of America, John Deere, JCB North America, Crone North America to demonstrate the newest equipment, services, and technology Harvest Crew owners. It's cool stuff. Sounds like it's going to be up there. Let's see here. Here's just a compliment from one of the members of the USCHI. The reason I come to this convention each year is to see the people. Over the years, the networking has provided job, loaner trucks, friendship, and more, said Greg Thurman, longtime USCHI member and past president. And then we got the board of directors will elect a new leader to an open board seat for the organization. And they got all kinds of stuff going on over there. So anyway, starting Thursday. For more information, it's easy, really easy to check. And this information here was provided by High Plains Journal for me. Go to their Facebook page, U.S. Custom Harvesters, and get on their Facebook page and check out what's going on that. Well, today is Hay Day Tuesday, so we might as well see what the hay's doing. I kind of glanced at it earlier, and it's not changing much, but it ain't going down much either. Looks like on alfalfa, Kansas premium, 230 to 325. That's not delivered. 190 delivered to 300 delivered on good quality grade alfalfa. Missouri, 200 to 300 on premium. 150 to 200 on good. Oklahoma, 200 a ton on premium. 180 delivered on good. And then what we got from Texas here? 320 to 425 delivered on premium. And 310 to 340 delivered on good forage quality. So nothing really crazy going on. It looks like Missouri, well, Iowa actually got out. They've had a pretty good snow in up there for quite a while. Premium alfalfa up there is going for 195 to 380 a ton. And in Wyoming, it's going for 270 to 300 a ton. That's the highest I've seen on that was sold, reported to the USDA. Grass hay, looks like Kansas 200 to 250 per ton on premium, 100 to 240 on good, that 240 being delivered. Missouri's 225 a ton on premium and 150 to 175 per ton on good. And then Oklahoma's 185 on premium, 100 to 175 on good. And Texas 280 to 330 on premium grass hay and 185 to 300 on good hay. So, and that was all that's going on there. So, not much changing there. Let's see, what time? Oh, yeah. Let's talk about some myths about wheat. And these are busted myths. How about that? Wheat is one of the world's most important crops and has been cultivated for over 10,000 years. But due to books like Wheat Belly, plus the gluten-free movement, campaigns by anti-GMO activists, and more, wheat has a target on its back. Let's set the record straight on four common myths about this grain. The first myth, wheat is better in Europe. There are six types of wheat, and each is ideal for different purposes. Some wheat are hard varieties, and others are soft varieties. Hard wheat has a higher gluten content and produces bread and other products that hold their shape. Soft wheat has a lower gluten content and is used for softer foods like pastries and cookies. Most wheat grown in the U.S. is hard wheat, while most wheat grown in Europe is soft wheat. While all the wheat contains gluten, European wheat generally tends to have less gluten than U.S. wheat. People who are gluten sensitive could possibly have less irritation with eating pasta, breads, and other baking goods in Europe than when eating the same foods in the United States. That doesn't mean that Europe's wheat is any better than U.S. wheat. It's just simply different. Europe also imports wheat from the United States and Canada, so many wheat-containing foods in Europe have the same U.S. wheat in them. Another reason some people claim that Europe wheat is better
than U.S. is because due to the glyphosate use, which leads straight into the next myth. Here we go. Number two, to put it plainly, no wheat is drenched in glyphosate. First of all, with glyphosate, what is glyphosate? It is an active ingredient in many non-selective herbicide formulations used to control wheat. Glyphosate is normally used to control weeds before crops are even planted. Glyphosate is repeatedly proven to be completely safe, even though the Californians passed the law, let that lawsuit get through and caused all this crap. In fact, it is backed by one of the most intensive worldwide human health, safety, and environmental databases ever compiled for a crop protection product. Glyphosate is used in one-third of the U.S. wheat acres and is normally applied when there's no crop in the field. Glyphosate can be applied to fields before harvest, but this is not common and is used on fewer than 3% of wheat acres. When this pre-harvest application is completed, glyphosate is applied when the wheat kernel is fully developed, so the plant is not absorbing any glyphosate. There you go. And let's see, what is it here? Oh, they go, if there was one part per million of a herbicide residue in 1 pound of bread, a person weighing 150 pounds would have to eat 36,000 loaves of bread in one day and drink over 50,000 bottles of beer, or eat 450,000 standard 1.5-ounce servings of oatmeal per day to approach any acceptable daily intake. There you go. Myth number three, wheat is genetically modified. Did you know that there is no genetically modified wheat in the United States? Genetically modified GMO wheat is only allowed in two countries, Argentina and Brazil. You don't have to worry about ever looking for a non-GMO label. Not that you have anything to worry about by consuming GMOs anyway, on wheat-containing products, simply because there's no genetically modified wheat here in the United States. And number four, last one. Wheat contains more gluten than ever. Gluten is often given a bad rap. This isn't exactly the case. First, gluten isn't just found in wheat. Gluten is also found in rye, barley, and triticale. Any products containing these grains will have gluten. Recall the amount of gluten in wheat varieties depending on the variety and purpose of wheat. The amount of gluten in which wheat also depends on growing conditions such as the level of precipitation during the growing season. Most importantly, research has shown that gluten levels have remained the same over the last 120 years. And my grandma, that ate bread every day, gluten, lived to be 103. She was passed in, 1982. So anyway, she was born in the late 1800s, and she lived a good old ripe age of 103 years old. The last year of her life was not the greatest in the world, but she was a fighter. Gotta love her. All right, let's see what else we got here. Cattle and calves on feed for the U.S. slaughter market. Feedlots with more than 1,000 head capacity. Total 1.19 million head on January 1st. Placements in the feedlots during December were 4% lower than the previous year at 1.7 million head. Markings on fed cattle were down 1% year over year and at 1.73 million head. According to Sue on Market to Market out of Iowa, the report's coming out next week, actually, will be really important to what's going on with our cattle market. So then we got that going on. What else we got going on? Not much there. Let's see here. Yeah, we're about out of time. But anyway, if you're short on hay, you need to quit wasting hay. That's what it said, not me. Anyway, quit wasting hay. Know how much hay you got available. Weigh a few bales to get an average weight. Don't overfeed your cows. Don't underfeed your cows. Minimize storage losses where you store your hay. and make your cows clean up what they got out there. Now, I noticed my cows out here, West Elk, are really sloppy this year. And so they're not going to eat more hay till they clean up what they got, unless it rains a bunch on it. They're being there. Also, cull some animals. If you're going to be short on hay, cull some animals, less productive females, open cows, whatever. Limit time to access to hay. That's what I need to do with these cows at West Town. The other ones clean. Other two sets I take care of, clean it up pretty good. Do some worming. Think of some grain that you supplements that you can do. Anyway, this will see you guys tomorrow. This is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma.